sound. How do you know what is right or what is wrong if you don't make mistakes, if you don't taste and try? So you receive something, but you are not sure, is it God or is it me? Is it is me discerning in my soul, or is God speaking to me and discerning in the spirit and all of that? So the rule of thumb I use is step out and practice. Try it out. But ask yourself first, if it is me and not God, will it be harmful or harmless? If it is harmful, never practice with a word that will be harmful. You see, because many people may not have the discernment, and so they will just take it as a fact that you said it because you have a gift, that you prophesy or something, you're in a prophetic team or something, and then they will just not discern it, take it for granted that for sure it is God. But if it is you, we have to have integrity. So you have to make sure. Don't practice with something that can be harmful to somebody's life if it is not God. You see, but step out with other things and get to know. This one was right, so it was like this. I made a mistake in this one, so you start learning and discerning and sifting within yourself. So that's very, very important to know that. We need to protect. So in the different ways that the prophetic manifests, we have personal prophecy, which is, we see that as the most common prophetic we see, being modeled when we give one-on-one words to people. And that one is, there's some people who have, that is their strength. That's what they do. If that is the way it manifests for you, you need to develop a very strong pastoral heart. Because prophetic people who are not pastoral can cause a lot of damage. You have to be pastoral. You have to be careful. You are dealing with the bride of our Lord. You are dealing with a child of God. God is watching. And so be careful. Be pastoral. You don't know how to be pastoral. Talk to your leaders. Talk to your pastor. Tell them to teach you how to be pastoral in delivering prophecies. Because otherwise, I had once a guy in my prophetic team I was training a long time ago. He was, a woods guy. He cut trees for a living, a bushman and a lumberjack, thank you. And he dressed like that and looked like that and acted like that and husky guy. And then he was very prophetic in a prophetic team, and we were doing some practices, some activations, and he had partnered with this little lady, you know, so tender and soft and lovely and just, you know, beautiful little lady. And he says to her, he asked God, he had a word for her, and he said, I saw fires coming from heaven. It's going to be a whoosh, and it's going to burn you to charcoal. I saw you suddenly. You were a pile of charcoal on the ground and then ashes. And it was, that little lady almost had a heart attack. You know, because, bless him, very prophetic, but he had no pastoral skills at all. And so I saw her face, her lip was quivering, fear all over her. And he delivered his great prophecy and kind of was looking at her like, what's wrong with you? So I said to him, the problem here is God just speaks to you in the way you are and you communicate. Now you have to pass it on to her. She's not you. That's where the pastoral side comes in. She's not you. God is not going to ever talk to you with rainbows and butterflies. That's not how you are. That's not how you think. You know, it's you. You're you. But now you have to pass this on to someone else. So you have to be pastoral because you just freaked the life out of this lady. And the worst part is you communicate that God is like that. God will scare you. God will do this. God will intimidate you. Because that's the message. People take the whole thing as God. And so you can't do that. I said, so now you have to inquire the Lord, okay, how do I say, you know, how do I communicate this? And I said, you know, if I would communicate that, I said, I know exactly what you mean. I said, but I would say, well, I just saw God is going to take you through a season where there's going to be and fire will come, a fire from God. It's going to feel very, very intense in your life. The purpose of that is to burn some things that you don't need to have anymore, that the Lord is going to remove some things and you know, from your life, and you're going to feel like, you know, the intensity of it. I said, however, being pastoral, you don't stop the prophecy there. You're leaving the person with fear, no matter if you say with flowers. So now you ask God, and what after? What are you going to do after you burn that? Because we need to leave people with a hope and a future. That's prophecy, a hope and a future. Something that they can hold on to on the other side of it. I said, so you go and ask God, okay, and then what? And then you say, and then this is the purpose for it. Ask God, and what is the purpose? Not just you're going to get things burnt out and that's it. What's the purpose behind it? Intention, show me the intention. And then after, the hope for the future. And then after that, God will do this and that. You see? Same thing is how we say it. The pastoral is really important. In every area, but especially in personal prophecy. Other people don't do that. They don't do the one-on-one. It's not their thing. But they have corporate prophecy. And they can give words to the church, to a group of people. You see, and that all of these are equally needed. They're very important. You may have one, two, or three, or all of them. But there are some that have one. You will have at least one. And you, as you start, you know, blessing people and releasing the prophetic in your lives, out of relationship, the relational part we talked about, you will start seeing how it manifests. You will know, I get words for the church more than for people. That means your strength is to give corporate prophecy, which is fine. So others can do the personal while you do this one. And everybody swims fine in the same pond. Other people, and if you have, other people have, the prophetic in them is for the nations. And their voices to the nations. And they get words for nations. But people who are a prophetic voice to nations, they have received for the city, for the community, for governments, for local governments and local authorities. That is all part of a voice to the nations. You see, and, you know, that is very necessary. We need the voice of God for the nations, especially now, the true voice of God for the nations. You see, so it will manifest, and if that is how it flows, and then cultivate that. Cultivate what is natural in you, in the manifestation of it, and then you will see God will add more to you if he wishes. But, you know, cultivate what flows naturally out of you instead of forcing yourself, this is the way it has to be. So, voices to the nations, powerful, powerful, amazing, necessary. There is the watchman's anointing, which is extremely powerful, necessary, highly misunderstood. And that is what is called prophetic intercession. Prophetic and intercession go together, because the more prophetic you are, the more you intercede, because you carry burdens from God. But the more you intercede, the prophetic arises, because God begins to confide in you and to speak to you and show you things. So they go together a lot. So the watchman's anointing, you know, is when God shows you what is ahead and manifests in two ways, is bringing warning. A lot of warning, and that is the anointing of Elisha and Ezekiel. But it's the anointing of Elisha. Thank you so much. There's the anointing of Elisha, and that is when you bring, you know, Elisha in the book of Kings, God revealed to him the plans that the enemy king was making in secret against the people of God. And then he would go and give the warning and spoil the plans of the enemy. And so the king said one day, there's a spy among us, the prophet, and is, thank you, it's very nice. And it is, you know, and there's who goes and tells them, and they say, no, it's the prophet Elisha over there. God reveals to him everything you say, plan in secret. That is very necessary. We need this anointing. We really, really need it. We need a watchman on the wall that are hearing, and God shows us, and they blow the trumpet and say, be careful, a storm is coming on the left. This is going to be attacked. That's going to happen. The problem is that it is greatly misunderstood, because it sounds very negative. And then people say, I had a lady come to my church when I was a pastor with Ivan years ago, and she was very broken because they kicked out of her church because they said she was cursing the church. They said, everything is fine. Then she comes and gives a word that something bad is coming, and it happens because she said it. So they kicked her out. I understood. She's a watchman. I want this. We need this. You see, we healed her up, and she was with us for 20 years, and it was such a blessing. Every time she would blow the trumpet, we understood. She's bringing warning of so the plans of the enemy can be spoiled. You see, God will warn us ahead of time. The thing is also, if you are a watchman and you are seeing the plans God reveals, it's not about dealing with demons. It's about knowing the plans of the enemy, God revealing them to you. So the challenge with it is that I am a watchman, I know. The challenge with that is that many times, you know, they are, how do I say this nicely? Let me make this pastoral before it comes out of my mouth. But these watchmen, intercessors, can be very touchy if you don't listen. And they give the warning, and then they expect results. You say, do it. And they want accountability, and why, you know, and they get upset if they don't see that the pastors or leaders or the people didn't listen to them. And the issues continue, and they say, well, God already told them, I gave them this word, and they're not doing anything. The thing is, you bring the warning, God said to Ezekiel, you give it and walk away. It's none of your business. You see, and usually this side causes trouble for pastors and leaders, because people get disgruntled if they don't think they're being heard or they're doing it, because they know God said it, but they don't care. No, but the pastors, they don't listen. The leaders don't listen. The family, he's not listening, but they gave him this word, and this warning. That is controlling. We don't hold people accountable to anything. People don't have to give us account, especially leaders. It is, once you deliver it, it's between them and God. Your work is done. If you have burden, intercede. You see, don't gossip. Don't go around complaining and spreading division. You see, but the thing is, pastors and leaders know more than you don't, than you know. They don't have to tell you. I know from being a pastor and a leader that we listen, we pay attention. But you gave us a small sliver of the pie. We are dealing with the whole pie. We're putting this and this and receiving other things, and we are working with it as pastors and leaders. But for you, it's just the sliver you got, and that's the very important, because, and it is, but you don't know the rest of the pie. So, you know, that's an area where we have to be careful so that it grows well. Now, it is important, yes, I know, it's important to say, you know, to show appreciation. I say, thank you so much. I heard it. I'm taking it to heart. Thank you for sharing that. And we will work on this, pray into this, and apply it as the Lord shows us, and yada, yada. That's very important. It goes a long way for the heart of the watchman. Because being a watchman is actually costly, and it is lonely. You are there interceding. You are in your, you know, alone with God, seeing and knowing, and then you release, and then it feels very lonely to be a watchman, especially when you are misunderstood. So, you know, we need to work together in this and chill. You know, it's important, just chill. And then also it is important, if you are a watchman, getting warnings, ask God to show you what he's going to do after the storm. Don't just say a hurricane is going to blow through and throw everything into the wind and everything is coming out of control and God bless you. Don't do that. You know, and then, what else? You know, hope on the future. As God, what's the hope on the future for them to hold on to that after the storm, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. You see, when you receive a watchman's word, a warning, act on it. Don't just leave it aside. This one requires response between you and God in whatever area it is. Don't neglect it, because the attack will come. You were warned. And if the destruction happens, if you were warned, it's on your hands. It's on you. You cannot blame God or anybody. You see, it happens a lot, a lot, a lot. I once had a young couple married, and they were just beautiful, just it was as God as anything else, beautiful and amazing. But 2 months into the marriage, I had a dream. It was a watchman's revelation. And I saw divorce, and I saw the split, and I saw the reason. It was generational. I knew the curse, the name, everything. So I shared it with a mother-in-law who was my friend, one of the mothers-in-law. And then she contacted them, and they contacted me, and it turned out it was on the bright side. The curse was coming. And then she said, well, it is true. My family, there's all these divorces for that very reason. She confirmed it all. You know, so, and I had left them with hope and a future for later. I asked God for the rest of the plan. But, so 2.5 years later, they were divorced. In the exact way that I said. Then 2 years or so later, the former husband talked to me and he said, you know, when you gave us that warning, by now he knew very clearly it was a true warning from God, bless him. He said, we knew it was true, but we were still on our honeymoon. Who thinks of things like that in the honeymoon? So we said, okay, well, later we will deal with this. They forgot. And the fact that the warning came so quickly after they got married was the curse was going to move very fast. Get ready now. And he said, you know, if we had prayed into it, watch for this division, you know, take care of those areas, strengthen it, don't fall for it when it came, if we were forewarned, we would have made it through. But we lost everything. You know, churches have said the same thing. I give a watchman's word to a church saying a spirit of division has been released to the pastors. Against an attack has been planned in the strategy room of the enemy. Spirit of division has been sent. It is going to come and hit the leadership, and it's going to split the church. And it's because the calling in your lives is to do this, this, and this. And the enemy, the territorial spirit in the area where you live, doesn't want to see that happen. So he's going to do this. Because it does division, he will split the church, and at the end, the church will close and disappear. I said, so prepare yourself, you know, strengthen your relationships. I raise up the intercessors in the church and tighten everything in the leadership team. That's the main target of the attack. And make sure that you have each other's back, relationally, spiritually, and everything. Build in this. And, you know, don't fall for it when this division begins to attack you. And so on and so on. So, they came to see me. I was in England. They came to see me in another conference, I think 2 or 3 years later. And it had happened, everything. And they had left church, the split had happened, the church doesn't exist anymore. It was a complete success on the other side, not on God's side, unfortunately. And they said to me, you know, when you gave us that prophecy, we were full of faith. We had, God was building, we were developing, things were coming to pass from another when you and Ivan came and ministered in our church. So it was unfolding. People were, you know, full of life. We were building on it, and we thought, okay, we'll deal with this later. We put it there in a drawer. We thought back then cassette tapes we used to have. So we put it in a drawer and said, we will take care of this later. Right now, we're busy, you know, we're developing all this vision. And then it happened. And they said, then one day when it was about 9 months of every attack from hell they could have. And when they had to resign and everything, and then they said, suddenly, he said, we completely forgot about it. And then we remember, one of us remembered, didn't we have that, Isabel gave us a word. And so we listened to it, and everything is in detail there, even how to avoid it. Said, but if we had done it, the attack would have been spoiled completely, and maybe would have not happened at all, like in Elisha's experience. Or it would have hit but not caused destruction because it would have been strengthened and ready for the storm. You see, and that happens a lot, unfortunately, that we don't respond and then boom, it comes. Now, the other side of the watchman's anointing also is that God will give you access to the declarations from heaven. You will get both sides. And you will get this other trumpet when you will be able to bring proclamations and declarations and say, you know, there is this blessing coming. This is going to happen. God is going to do this. Prepare for this harvest or that harvest. And if people respond, then they, you know, they live it. But if they don't respond, it's the same thing. Nothing happens. Then you lose it and you waste it. And what happened? There's this clear example of it that happened in England when Princess Diana died. And it was, I think, about 14 months before someone in England had a word from the Lord, and the prophecy, it was actually given, submitted to a pastor back 14 months before, that said, and the word is said, just at this, the mourning was throughout the country, the whole country. I think it was a vision or something, or a dream, I can't remember, but I think a vision. And the whole country was in mourning. Flowers were piled up like mountains on the streets. Everybody was weeping. It was bad and it was hard. And then it said, prepare for a revival will break out of it. Life will flow from it. And preach at, during that time when that morning happens, you know, people will receive the gospel and salvations and the hearts of people will turn to the Lord. And it will be a great move of God in England when that happens in the UK. Well, it happened. But there was no move from God. Nothing happened. And then people sent. But what happened to the revival that sent? One half came to pass and not the other. It was very simple. Nobody acted on it. They didn't prepare. The churches didn't respond to say, okay, let's get ready for whenever, whatever it is going to be. We'll train people. We'll be prepared. We will act immediately. Be ready. You don't prepare the nursery after the baby is born. You prepared before. They didn't. The whole thing went to waste, which could have been a revival. See, it happens all the time in our lives because we don't listen to the watchman's part. You see, so we need this. It's powerful, it's important, and it's as prophetic as anything else. Great manifestation. Then we have prophetic evangelism, the people call evangelism. And here's the thing with this, the unsaved need prophetic. Prophetic is very important for the unsaved, but it's how we do it. And you see, we need that. Not everybody is. Like I said, different manifestations. This may be your thing, but not everybody else's thing, as long as we are all prophetic in whatever way it manifests in our lives. So we forget, again, how to communicate is a big thing. We forget what it was like before we got saved. We forget how people think out there. We get so used to our culture, our Christian culture and that. So we go out to prophesy on the streets or out there somewhere to unbelievers the same way we prophesy to Christians over people at church. And that doesn't work. They already think that we're crazy. They already have opinions and we reinforce it by saying, I'm a Christian, God talks to me. They hear voices. I saw this, I had this vision, they see things. You see, we are dealing with a different mindset of the spirit of the Antichrist out there. So we forget that. We use Christian lingo with people who don't know it. We prophesy the way we prophesy at church. They don't know the difference between a psychic and a prophet. They don't know how to handle this. They have no understanding of anything. And now, you see, they think, because to them it's fortune telling, they don't know. It's hard enough for us to walk through prophecies. Now they don't have the Holy Spirit. And then you give them the prophecy on Friday, they expect it will happen by Saturday at noon. If not, they throw it in the garbage. You see, we have to consider all those things. They may receive it at the moment, but they are going home to unbelievers to tell the experience. We're going to pick it apart and destroy the whole thing. Because the world has the spirit of the Antichrist. And so they're going to take it apart. And then the person will throw it away. Yes, it's true. They will convince them and forget it. So the little bit achieved when you gave it will be stolen away. So all these things are important. But there is a way. Now, if your main thing is evangelism, then it doesn't matter what you do. People will get saved and respond. because there is a spirit of conviction that goes with you and a spirit of repentance that will manifest if your call is evangelism. You see, but the rest of us who are not, we feel intimidated to go out and give prophetic words in the streets to begin with. And then how we do it. But Jesus modeled it for us. And we can imitate Jesus. The best way to release prophetic for the unsaved is words of knowledge. It's words of knowledge and revelation. Words of knowledge is a springboard for miracles and for evangelism. So we need to develop that, words of knowledge, if that's your thing, you know, for evangelism. And so, but it's not, again, don't be religious or Christian in doing it. Don't be spiritual. They don't need that. You see, Jesus did it with the woman in the well. He had a word, it was a word of knowledge. But he built it into a casual conversation. He didn't say, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God, I'm also a prophet, and my father showed me that you are not, you know, you have been with five men, and the one you're with is not even your husband, and you know, all of that. He didn't do that. Imagine, that would have brought so many walls. The way you do it can cause walls or can to go up or walls to come down. Jesus didn't reveal his identity. That would have put it, I'm the Messiah, you know. Walls, walls, walls. He didn't. He started a casual conversation about the well and the water and all of that. And then he built the word of knowledge into the conversation. Now go get your husband so he can drink from this new, the first fresh water he told her. You see, and then she responded, and we know. Then she, once she was hooked, and she said, you must be a prophet. Who are you? He revealed his identity, not before. You see, we have to be careful with this. So he revealed his identity. And there is no, a whole village came to know him because of that. And it brought a harvest of 60, 80, and 100 because there is no one, the spirit of the Antichrist cannot steal that away. It's a fact, it's something that no one knows, only God knows about their lives. Where God is revealing himself and saying, I know you, and I am here for you. Then he revealed himself. You know, I have done the other prophetic evangelism, not so fruitful. And I actually had to repent because I convinced people to accept Jesus so the prophecy would come to pass. Can you believe it? Not because of the cross, salvation, or hell. We just, people have to get saved. They said, you get people, you prophesy over them and lead them to Jesus. So I prayed, repented, that the Lord helped particularly this one girl. And I assured her, you know, it's like, if you accept Jesus, you will get a candy. And so she prayed to accept Jesus so that I guarantee that then she will get the blessings and whatever the prophecy was. That's not real salvation. So I misled her. But you see, anyway, but words of knowledge are effective for that. Show me a secret about somebody's life that no one knows. What do you want? Show me something. Ivan did it a lot. And he would go into public places, the wells of the city, sit at the well. And he was very good at it. And the one time he was there in a bookstore in the mall. He used to go there a lot for that, to fish. And he would go and say to the Lord, show me. Words of knowledge. He would specifically ask for words of knowledge. This one man walked in one day, and I even got a word of knowledge for him, so he knew, I'm here for this man. He followed him, and then said to him, he went to the computer section, and as he asked him, he just started a casual conversation. They were a similar age. So Ivan just started with a casual conversation about technology, how it changes and how it's harder for us older people to keep up with that, and so on and so on. And the man was agreeing very casual. And then he said to the man, well, I don't know a lot about this, but I know enough. Maybe I can help you, you know, if you tell me what you're looking for, or direct you to the right book, maybe, because Ivan already knew. And so he said, yes, I'm trying to find out about, you know, memory in the computer and about files stored and so on. And, you know, he was trying not to reveal a lot. And Ivan said, oh, yes, there is something where even if you delete, something remains and there are cookies and this and that. And the man said, yeah, I was wondering. See, Ivan started to direct the conversation very casually where he, to the word of knowledge. And then he said, and Ivan said, yes, and I will tell you how to do it, actually. That I know, I actually know about that because I've had to help other people with this. He said, but you better do it right away. Go home and do it immediately, because 2 weeks ago, your wife told you that if you visited those websites again, she will leave you, take your children away, and you will never see them again. The man dropped the book and said to him, who are you? How do you know that? No one knows that. Then Ivan said, well, I am Reverend Ivan Alam. I am a pastor in the city. And the Lord sent me to tell you that he wants to save your family. He doesn't want you to lose your family. He wants to save you and your family. He wants to help you. That's why I'm here. But see, the man couldn't deny it now. And he began to cry. They had an amazing encounter there. And the rest is history, you see. And it doesn't matter how many unbelievers he would tell that to, no one can deny it was God. It brings harvest, a word of knowledge built in. But if he had gone first to say, you know, I am a pastor, I'm Reverend Ivan Alam, and God, showed me this and told me this and that, it would have brought condemnation, guilt, warning, defenses would have gone up and nothing would have come out of it. He would have not received it. But the other way around, the way Jesus did it in the well, is not intimidating for you, not threatening for them, and effective, because Jesus did it. It's his model. We imitate him. You can do this with your family, with your friends, and on the street. It's casual, you know? And then when people are hooked, then you just say, well, God, you know, I'm a Christian. The Lord sent me to help you. Now, there is another manifestation of the prophetic, which is the psalmist anointing. And the psalmist involves all creative arts. And it is that part of prophecy that comes through writing, painting, dancing, songwriting, you know, creativity, instruments, music. You see, maybe you will not prophesy but with words to people or one by one or the church or the nation or anything like what we have been talking, but you have that. And then God can reveal himself through that. He can give you songs from heaven to write and to sing that will minister to the people and speak. He can give you, you know, dance that will bring healing to people or release heaven on earth. It will speak a message to somebody. Paintings, drawing, poetry, writing, you know, playing instruments. And all of this is, you know, people who do it, they hear, either they hear it and do it or see it and reproduce it, or it flows out of them. You remember Brenda, who used to come with me sometimes to minister and with Ivan and me, and she used to paint many times. She started painting without knowing what was going to come out. But then it turned out to be a prophetic word for someone on the canvas. And you see, that is a very powerful. And once we had one of our worship leaders. He was very prophetic, but he would never prophesy. That wasn't his thing. He struggled with that, saying, why, if I am prophetic and all of that, I can't do it. Because he had a different manifestation, and it was through the instrument and the music. And one time, he was leading worship, and suddenly, he began to, go into this solo playing. He just, it changed, and he began to play and play and play, but it felt like, it was a conscious thing, of course, but he didn't know when he was playing. He was just playing and playing. All the other instruments, it was an electric guitar, all the other instruments stopped. And it was just him in there, just going at it with his guitar. And we could feel power flowing from it. It was releasing something in the atmosphere, powerful. And so Ivan, instead of stopping him and that, he asked God, what are you doing? What's happening? Something is happening. His ears got opened, and he heard the music and it with words. And he heard the sound flowing from the guitar was declaring the holiness of God into the atmosphere. And it was manifesting, and it was specific words of holiness, holy, 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 and some other things. This was about 30 years ago, so I can't quite remember the detail of what the guitar was saying or the music. And so anyway, and a few after I even got that, and he told me this is happening, all of a sudden the lady in the piano started playing again softly and began to sing what the music of the guitar was saying. She began to sing it in English. And so it became corporate. First it was individual, then it became corporate. And we joined in singing. And you could feel the holiness of God in the room. We had painters with their easels, and they were painting on the side. All three of them were painting on the holiness of God. And we had a guest speaker whose sermon was on the holiness of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit that day fell in our church like we had not seen it like that before, because of the musician prophesied through his guitar. You see? And there is a lot of that, of things like that that happen. And prophetic. That man has never prophesied with words, but he has continued prophesying through his instrument, hearing and releasing. He says he just hears the sound and he reproduces it. One time Ivan and I were ministering in England, and we were called to help a church that had a split. It was a disaster. And so they told us, the leaders, the pastors weren't there anymore, but you take care of everything, lead the meetings. It was a whole week of meetings. They said, we just need to be put back in the map of the kingdom. We are lost. And we need the Father's love flowing again and so on. So they said, just you take care of everything. So as we were going through the week, it was closed doors. Visitors could not come. It was just a tiny group receiving and healing. Sunday was the only public meeting. And word was around that we were ministering there. So on the Sunday, the Lord said to Ivan, first thing in the morning, today I'm going to release power through the drums. I'm sure I told you this story before, but I'm sure there's some that haven't heard it. It was years ago, maybe. No, okay. And he said, I will release power through the drums. So I thought, okay, he told me that. I said, okay, copy that, whatever that means. And so anyway, the place was packed with visitors. And so first song, and they were all like, worship was short because they were hurting. They were not really, going for long things. Second song, at the end of the second song, this man, about 60 years old, very quiet, he was playing the drums, but very conservatively, suddenly began to hit those things almost out of control. He was hitting those drums and going nuts at it, and kept on going and going. The worship leader looked at us and went like this. We went like this, power through the drums, right? So whatever is happening, we don't know, but power through the drums. So they continued 5 minutes into it, still going and going with those drums. And then I realized, okay, we need to make this corporate, because right now it's individual there. So we need to release. We have to make sure we, whatever God does, if we are in together, if it is in church setting, we have to make sure if God is moving, it becomes corporate, or else everybody's left out wondering what happened. If we are corporately met corporately, God releases something to someone, it's for us to make it corporate. We have to make sure we do. So I thought, okay, I need to make this corporate. So I came to the front and I called the intercessors to join me to dance at the beat of the drums, so to speak, and just with the flags and everything, to start making it corporate. 10 minutes is still going. 15 minutes is still going, and it's increasing. And the guy broke the sticks. Now he was hitting the drums with his hands. So out of character for him. So I was now, the whole thing lasted 20 minutes. Somewhere in the 15-minute gap, I said to the Lord, you know, we need to explain this to the people, because otherwise it will just become a weird experience. What is happening in heaven that this is manifesting on earth? There's always a connection. When there's a shift on earth, there's something in the heavenly realm. I said, show me what is happening in the heavenly realm over this church right now. Immediately, in the spirit, I got lifted to the top of the building. And I stood on top of the building, and I was there for about a minute or so, when suddenly I saw the sky opened up, and a row of angels dressed in white came down, and they stood around the church like a wall, shoulder to shoulder, just a wall of angels blocking everything. Then two more angels came dressed like warriors, like might, like gladiators kind of angels, came down and flew inside the building. At that moment, the drums became more intense. Now it was corporate. People were involved. They were the flags, the people, intercession. They were praying. There were tongues. The whole thing was on fire inside that building, almost shaking. And then suddenly I see the two angels coming through the roof of the building carrying a witch. And they were pulling her, and she was kind of stuck halfway. She was fighting them back, and they were pulling her, and that was going on. And then I realized why the wall of angels. It was to stop other demonic interference around the church, protecting it. So finally, at that moment, the climax what was happening in the church, I mean, was so intense. I have never experienced that in any other setting since or before. And it was so intense. And then they were fighting in and out in the middle on the roof and for maybe, you know, 60 seconds, when suddenly they yanked her out, the witch, and they flew to my right. And they flew with her far, far, far away until they disappeared. At that moment, you know, the moment they pulled the witch out of the building, the drums stopped. And everything calmed down, the atmosphere shifted, and the guitar guy, the worship leader, began to sing a very nice, calm, quiet song. And everybody was just in on it. It was just like, what happened? You know, as he has shifted to it, it shifted immediately when it ended. So when it ended, I went to the front and I told them what happened. And I was just encouraging them, there's purpose for this. I inquired of the Lord. And he showed me. And so we just joined in with angels in a mission, in an assignment. The angels were an assignment today, and which got removed, and a spirit of witchcraft got released, and that people were very excited when the one of the leaders who was in the meeting came and said to me after, well, let me tell you the part of the story that you don't know about this morning. He said, today, the most famous witch in the county came to the meeting. She was very curious that these prophets were coming, and she wanted to know what it was about. And she came to the meeting. And during those 20 minutes of drums, she gave her life to Jesus and got delivered. Two of the leaders ministered to her. She gave her life to the Lord and got delivered from witchcraft, from the stronghold of witchcraft. And at the end, she came and asked me to prophesy over her. She wanted to know now what God had for her because she had been delivered. She was changed, and she's still a Christian. And the amazing thing was she was famous. So now she proclaims Jesus, you know, as famous as she was on the other side. And all those that, you see, it was a corporate thing for a purpose, it would have been worth just for her not to go to hell, but it was for an impact of the community and the county and all of that, and the deliverance of the stronghold. It was a powerful stronghold of witchcraft. She was the most famous witch. And I was saved. And all of that because a drummer heard from heaven and acted prophetically in the meeting. You see, and then it all got released. That dear man has never given a prophetic word to anybody, but he has continued hearing from God through his instrument. You see, and that is how important this is, that we can all prophesy. And the last one I want to leave with you, sometimes knowing the heart of God and prophesying, you can prophesy without saying anything by doing what Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do, with actions. There are times when you don't need to say, you just need to do. When God will show you and you do it. And that, you see, I had a lady in my prophetic team many years ago who said to me, I don't think I can be in the prophetic team anymore because last time I was there and a young woman came. She was in her late 60s, mid 60s. So she was a lovely grandmother. She said, I think I'm broken now in the prophetic. I can't function because this girl came in, a 16-year-old, and she said, I saw her, and I didn't get anything. I didn't get a word, a revelation, or anything. She said, but something very strange happened. I was looking at her when she came in, and I began to feel this flood of love inside of me just gushing out, and I kept thinking, he said, these weird thoughts of, oh, she's precious, she's so beautiful, she's this, all these wonderful compliments. And she said, then all I wanted to do was hug her. I could feel in my arms this longing to hug her. She said, so when everybody was prophesying over her, when it came to me, I had nothing to say. I had not received anything. I asked God. And nothing, she said, so I don't think, I think I'm broken in the prophetic, so I need to step down. And I said, not at all. You have entered into the next level of the prophetic. It's not just knowing God's heart and thoughts, but experiencing his heart for people. Experiencing his emotions. I said, so in that situation, all you have to do is release it. Let it flow. And you see, I said, so it would have been the most significant prophecy, the demonstration of it. And you said, all you have to do is say, you know, when I saw you come in, I felt, you knew it wasn't your love. You had never seen her before. It wasn't your emotions. You had never seen her before. Tell her what was happening. I felt this love for you, and God loves you. Describe that love. And he thinks these things about you. Tell her those thoughts about her, you know, how beautiful and amazing she is. So, and then ask and said, you know, I feel very strongly, just the Father wants to hug you. May I hug you? And if she allows you, hug her until it passes. And there will be impartation in that. And that is prophetic. One time, Ivan and I were going out to run some errands. And he said to me, I think we should stop by somebody's house in our church. I don't know why. Maybe we'll just have a coffee and say hi, but I really feel we should go. Just before we left, I had a brand new pair of shoes in my closet, still in the box. And I just had the thought, I should wear those shoes. So no reason at all, I put them on and I went. We stopped, we were having coffee with them. And at some point, as we were having coffee, suddenly I had this quick vision. And I saw the Father taking the shoes from my feet and putting them on her feet. So I was going to tell her, I just had this vision. And since these were new shoes, I was going to say, I just had this vision and I saw the Father putting brand new shoes on your feet. And the Holy Spirit said, don't say a word, do it. Prophesy through action. Act the prophecy. Do it. So I did it, and I put the shoes on her feet, and I said, I just saw the Father do this. And I said, and by the way, they're brand new, just out of the box. And she began, they fit her perfectly. And she said to me, thank you. I said, no, dear, I'm not giving them to you. It's not my idea, so I'm not taking credit for it. I said, I saw the Father do it. And she started to cry, and she said, my husband has been out of work for 6 months. I have no work. I need the shoes. And I have bought secondhand shoes at the secondhand store. They keep breaking on me. And I keep asking, I said, yesterday I prayed and I asked God as my Father, would there be any possibility that I could have a brand new pair of shoes so they can last me? Because I don't know when we will have money to buy new shoes, but could you give me a new pair of shoes? Now she had them on her feet. And the impact of that in her life has carried her through the years. Is that, you see, if I had given her the word, it would have been encouraging. She would say, I prayed for that. He's confirming he's going to do it. But why not take it another level? And many times you can prophesy without saying a word by doing what God wants to do. And you do it on earth. As I see my Father do, I do. That is prophetic, because we are releasing the heart of the Father. We are releasing his mind, his thoughts. That's what prophecy is. So, saying all of that, we can all prophesy. Please stand with me. And I want to bless you and encourage you tonight, today, to be, like Paul said, pursue to prophesy, for it is powerful on earth, but be yourself. Be relational and be content with going around sharing the Father's thoughts. So, Father, I want to thank you for this house and everyone who is here, and for the resident anointing that is in this place. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to bless you and release another impartation. And I want to break off religious mindsets, religious yokes of performance or striving, of bondage, of lies that say, I can't, I'm not prophetic, for you are. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I just want to bless you and release you to be the prophetic voice and the prophetic actions of God, prophetic manifestations. I want to bless you in Jesus' name to arise in every area of your lives. I release right now an impartation of the prophetic mantle of our Lord Jesus over in this house to increase and over each of you right now. In season and out of season, at all times, because it's relational, as you walk with him, shop with him, work, go and come and work and do everything with him, out of relationship, it will grow. So I bless you in Jesus' name right now, for you are the light and the salt of the earth. And if you don't do it, the stones will have to do it. It's better if you do it than the donkey talking. So I bless you in the name of Jesus right now to be willing and available, to be childlike as who you are. Just be childlike, to step out in Jesus' name and be ready to ask God, give me something. Let me bless three people today and go throughout the day and see what God does with you, what he shows you at any time, out of relationship. I bless you right now for it is God's will to raise up the prophetic to another level. So right now in Jesus' name, I want to bless those of you who have gone through those fires of purification in your lives, for there is a purpose. For if you have purpose of wanting to be prophetic or serve in the prophetic, you have gone through fires and you will go through more. So I bless you right now in Jesus' name with the ability to appreciate them, for the purpose behind them is worth it. To carry the glory of God, the prophet of prophets, in you and through you, shifting atmospheres. I bless you with freedom right now, with an impartation of the Father's love to fill your hearts, that you will want to make him known before you love him so much. But right now, in Jesus' name, I call forth the different manifestations, and I release an impartation right now for the prophetic personal prophecy, the voice to the bride, the voice to the kingdom to arise right now. Those of you called to personal prophecy, I release the impartation and I call it out of you that you will arise in this area and the Father's love and will manifest in you and through you in the name of Jesus. I bless you. Those of you, I release an impartation for corporate prophecy. Those of you called to be a voice to corporate groups within the church or outside the church or in the church, it doesn't matter what groups, but those of you who are called to that, I call that forth, that impartation, and I release you to be that voice for corporate revelation of what God wants to do and the corporate impartation that will go through you to mobilize a group of people together. In the name of Jesus, I release an impartation for the voice to the nations. Those of you, and I release that impartation to be resident in here as well, that you will arise to be a voice to the nations, a voice in the kingdom, a voice to governments, a voice to local governments, to education, to the medical field, to the business world. All those areas fall into the nations. In the name of Jesus, that you will bring God's kingdom to the nations, a passion for the nations, the cities, the communities will arise and become a burden within you. For in the area that you are called, the burden will arise and you will feel the burden in that area. I bless you with an impartation right now for the watchman's anointing, that And it will arise, that the watchman will arise in Jesus' name. For you will arise, and the prophetic and the intercession will mix together. Right now, I release an impartation of the mantle of Elisha in this place. And I release the impartation of the mantle of Elisha in you, and those of you called to that, that it will arise within you. And you will have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive. Eagle's eyes will flow, and the revelations ahead of time and wisdom and discernment will come with it. In the name of Jesus, I release, I speak to your eyes to be open, your ears to be open right now, to also to receive from the throne room of God. In Jesus' name right now, that you will be the voice of heaven on earth, moving, releasing the rain, stopping the rain, speaking to nature, speaking to the rains literally and the storms, not just the spiritual ones, bringing supernatural, there's a strong supernatural element to the watchman's anointing that comes with it. So I release that impartation in your lives in Jesus' name. I bless you. And I call for those of you who are meant called to evangelism, the words of knowledge, the passion for the lost, the desire to bring the kingdom and the word of God to the lost. I release an impartation for words of knowledge and revelation to flow through you, dreams and visions, words of knowledge and passion for the lost right now to arise within you, and for the divine appointments that God will bring to you as you go out to the fields of the world to bring the kingdom of God, that just like Jesus with the woman in the well, you will know and discern when and where and how, but you'll be courageous and available. I call forth an impartation for the psalmist anointing that will be released all manners of creative arts right now, that will increase the musicians, the worshipers, the writers, the dancers, singers, instruments that prophesy, that you will arise in the name of Jesus in whatever area, creativity, prophetic creativity will arise in you in Jesus' name. And the freedom to be, the freedom to flow in those areas, the freedom to take the risk. And I bless you to reveal the heart of God, to carry, to demonstrate the prophetic acts that will manifest through you. And people will see and experience the heart of God through the pie that you baked at the right time, the phone call that you made because you got once to talk to that, to encourage that person and see how they're doing. Whatever the Father is doing, may you perceive it and do it. For God is looking for people that were willing to do that and just do it. I bless you with the courage to make mistakes, harmless mistakes. I bless you with the determination to break out of the boxes, for it's vulnerable to do it. In the name of Jesus, may the fear of the Lord manifest in all that you do. And I release an impartation of the ministry of our Lord Jesus, the prophet of prophets, and the tool to be released, those of you that are called to carry a gift in prophecy or a ministry. You will receive it by the power of the Holy Spirit as you pursue to prophesy. Increase will come for the glory of God and freedom above all things. Be who you are. Enjoy it. There is nothing greater than to know God and make Him known through the spirit of prophecy. In Jesus' name, amen.